I want you to read this passage along with me from Joshua 24 and verse 31. It's a pretty encouraging passage. It says, Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua, who had known all the works of the Lord which he had done for Israel. That's very encouraging, isn't it? And it says a lot about the influence that one really good leader can have. Now, I don't certainly want to attribute all of that to Joshua alone. He certainly had considerable help, but he was a mighty fine man, as you can see in the Scriptures. And so this is a very encouraging statement that's made here. But then let's look at another one that's made not too far in the distant future that's not so encouraging. This is from Judges 2 and verse 10. When all that generation had been gathered to their fathers, another generation arose after them who did not know the Lord, nor the work which he had done for Israel. And so you read Joshua 24:31 and you come away really feeling encouraged, and then this happens. Not too long after this. And so the question that we need to raise, of course, is, how did that happen? How did that happen? Here was a generation that was so faithful to the Lord, and then there comes along another generation that does not know the Lord, that does not serve Him. And as we will see in just a moment, just abandon Him for service to Baal and other false gods. How did that happen? Well, fathers and mothers, for one, must have done a poor job of teaching their children. Something broke down as far as passing on the knowledge of the Lord from one generation to the next. And of course, they must have done a poor job teaching their children despite the Lord's repeated instructions on that particular subject. Look in Deuteronomy chapter 6. Let's look at a few passages where the Lord emphasizes to parents the need to make sure they teach their children. Deuteronomy 6, beginning with verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. And so parents were explicitly told that you need to diligently teach your children the Word of God. Back up to chapter 4 in this same book, Deuteronomy 4. Look at verses 9 and 10. Only take heed to yourself, and diligently keep yourself, lest you forget the things your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life. And teach them to your children and your grandchildren, especially concerning the day you stood before the Lord your God in Horeb, when the Lord said to me, gather the people to me, and I will let them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days they live on the earth, and that they may teach their children. So again, you see that same emphasis. Now, let's look over in chapter 11. Look in chapter 11. Look at the first two verses. Therefore you shall love the Lord your God and keep His charge, His statutes, His judgments, and His commandments always. Know today that I do not speak with your children who have not known
and who have not seen the chastening of the Lord your God, His greatness and His mighty hand and His outstretched arm. But then look down to verse 18. Therefore you shall lay up these words of mine in your heart and in your soul, and bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall teach them to your children, speaking of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. And so the Lord was very clear in His instructions to parents. Make sure that all that you have heard from me, make sure the things that you have seen and heard the Lord do, make sure the things that you have heard from His law, that you pass them on to your children and your grandchildren. Well, again, based on what we read earlier in Judges 2 and verse 10, to some degree at least, there had to have been a breakdown. Now, we're not trying to excuse that generation of people themselves. We're not trying to just completely get them off the hook. But the fact that they did not know the Lord indicates there was a problem somewhere in this particular process. But not only can we say that mothers and fathers must have done a poor job, but also perhaps others charged with teaching did a poor job. You know, the priest, one of their jobs was to make sure that they taught the people the law. And we know from later history, when we get into the United Kingdom and the divided kingdom, that oftentimes they did a poor job of that. And perhaps there was a breakdown there as well. Look in Leviticus chapter 10. Leviticus chapter 10. And let's read beginning in verse 8. Leviticus 10, beginning in verse 8. Then the Lord spoke to Aaron, saying, "Do not drink wine or intoxicating drink, you, nor your sons with you, when you go into the tabernacle of meeting, lest you die. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations, that you may distinguish between holy and unholy, and between unclean and clean. And that you may teach the children of Israel all the statutes which the Lord has spoken to them by the hand of Moses." And so one of their primary responsibilities. Now, typically when we think of priests, we think of them going through offering all the sacrifices, and that was important. But one of their main jobs was to make sure that they taught all the law to the people. And so perhaps there was a breakdown there as well. And when I make this point, and we're going to elaborate on this a little bit further later, but you can see kind of where we're going in terms of application of all of this. We're going to be speaking to parents today as far as their responsibility to their own children. But when we make this point about how others charged with teaching must have done a poor job, that gets the attention of Bible class teachers, doesn't it? That gets the attention of elders. It gets the attention of anyone charged with teaching. In other words, we've got to take this seriously. Mothers and fathers have to take their responsibility toward their own children seriously, and others who are charged with teaching the Word of God need to take that responsibility seriously. There are generations coming behind us, and we don't want to make the mistake of them not being fully informed. We want them to know the Lord, and we want them to know His will. And so the lessons that come out of what we have observed so far, first of all, the fate of the next generation, at least to a great degree, is in our hands. And we just ask the question, how well are we doing? Self-examination time. I'm talking about how well are we doing right now? How well are we doing? Joshua, in Joshua 24 and verse 15, made the famous statement, declaration, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And these weren't just words, if you know from Joshua's life. I mean, he followed through on that. Now, we can't force our children to obey the Lord. We can't force them to be faithful, but we can very much set the tone. And really, the way we set the tone is we make it clear in a number of different ways that this is the most important thing to me. And fathers have a particularly heavy responsibility in this regard. Now, it takes both working together. Mother and father both have a tremendous responsibility in all of this. But the father's example is critical. The man's example is so very important. And again, it's a matter of demonstrating to them, not just by words, but by actions, hey, this is what's most important. You don't think that doesn't have an immeasurable impact on them? And really, they can tell when it's not, right? Children are pretty smart. They see inconsistencies. If you say one thing about this being important and you do another, they pick up on that. You think it might be a little subtle thing, but they know. They know. But if throughout their growing up years, time and time again, they see this as a priority, it's going to make a big impact upon them. Can it be said of our children what was said of Timothy? Remember the statement made concerning him there in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 15? That from childhood, he had known the Holy Scriptures. Can that be said of our children? We need to make sure that it is. Are we obeying Ephesians chapter 6 in verse 4? You may already be familiar with that, but let's turn to Ephesians 6. In verse 4, and read exactly what is said here. It's addressed primarily to fathers. The Apostle Paul writing says, "And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord." Again, a responsibility we have to take seriously. And we can approach the seriousness of this from a lot of different angles. But again, the way that we're approaching it today is, first of all, demonstrating that if we don't do our job, there can arise another generation that can cause a lot of problems and not be faithful to the Lord like they ought to. And so again, that's the last thing we want to happen. We want those who are coming on to be faithful. And we want to, as parents, do our job in regard to them. Is it our greatest joy to see our children walking in the truth? That's what John wrote concerning his children. He may not have been talking about his own fleshly children, perhaps his children in the faith, but the point really remains the same in regard to parents. That should be our greatest joy. And again, they can pick up on that as well. They're involved in a number of different things: academics, sports, extracurricular activities, all kinds of things. And it's fine for us to push for excellence in those areas. But you know what? Sometimes we can talk so much about excellence in those areas that they almost get the feeling that perhaps that's kind of been elevated a little bit too much. Maybe that's kind of pushing some spiritual things out of the way. We got to make sure they understand that serving the Lord is number one. And you know, the thing about it is, there's a lot of ways we can demonstrate this, but we can actually say it to them. Go ahead and tell them from time to time. Now, what means the most to me and your mother is for you to be faithful to the Lord. Say it just like that. If you've got a better way to say it, then great, but just say it. You don't have to say it every day. But just from time to time, make sure they understand that that's what's more important than anything else. Elders, how much concern do you have for the succeeding generations. There's obviously a lesson in this for those who are charged with feeding the flock and being an example to the flock. Again, things need to be done to ensure that that next generation is informed. And some of that comes in the form of them talking to me from time to time. We need you to go over this. These are some things that we feel are a concern. Some problems that may arise on down the line if we don't deal with them now. And that's part of their responsibility. And I appreciate that. The training class that we have, that's one of the things to help our young men. Not just to get up and lead songs and not just to get up and give talks. You know what they have to do in order to, either to lead a song or to give a talk? They have to prepare. They have to go over these things. I've tried to tell them in the part that I have as far as the talks that they give is I'm just as concerned about the learning that takes place before they get up here as I am what they do when they're up here. Okay. But then, again, just concern for that coming generation. Lots of things can be done. Teachers, how hard are we working to teach the succeeding generations? Now, I want all of you Bible class teachers to stop and think for just a minute. And I'll just start by asking you a question. You think you did much good today? I'm talking about all the way down to the twos and threes, fours and fives, and all the way up to high school, adult class. You think you did much good today? I hope that you think you did. But perhaps you're thinking that really what I did today and what I've done this entire quarter, that's just really just a little drop in the bucket. I don't know if I've made much of a difference at all. But you know what? If you've prepared, if you have prepared each week, and if you have filled their minds with the Word of God and got them to dwell upon the Word of God and its teaching and its application, then you have done immeasurable good. And the good that you have done will last throughout generations. And so I would encourage you to never, ever think that what you are doing is insignificant. It's highly significant. Do your job, do it well, and it will bear fruit for many, many years to come. The consequences, if we fail. How bad will it be if we fall down on the job? Well, it really comes down to this. Our children will learn to serve something or someone else. Because that's exactly what happened with this generation of Israelites that we referenced earlier. Let's go back to the book of Judges. Judges chapter 2. Judges chapter 2, beginning with verse 11, and this is really frightening when you read it. Chapter 2, beginning in verse 11. Then the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served the Baals. And they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, who had brought them out of the land of Egypt, and they followed other gods from among the gods of the people who were all around them. And they bowed down to them, and they provoked the Lord to anger. They forsook the Lord and served Baal and the Ashtoreths. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel. So He delivered them into the hands of plunderers who despoiled them, and He sold them into the hands of their enemies all around so that they could no longer stand before their enemies. You ever studied the book of Judges? Pretty depressing, isn't it? That's what happens when you fail. And really, going back to this teaching that we were talking about earlier, we want to teach our children how to live, how to serve the Lord faithfully in their daily lives. But we also want to make sure that they're fully informed on other matters as well, on the whole counsel of God. All along, there are departures from the faith in several different critical areas. the worship of the church, the organization of the church, the work of the church. There will be departures from time to time. And on these areas, we've got to make sure that they're fully informed. You know what happens when you go for very long and you don't ever say a word about instrumental music? You don't ever say anything about the work of the church. Somebody comes along and suggests a better way, a different way of doing things, and they're all for it. Or it just kind of promotes a looseness in people's thinking over time. In other words, if you go for very long and you don't really emphasize the need for authority to abide within the teachings of Christ, it just, again, kind of leads to a looseness in thinking. It opens the door for things. Again, getting back to this point, they're going to fill that void with something else if we don't put the Word of God into their hearts. A few passages that really emphasize the need to think properly, to think upon the things that are taught in God's Word. Philippians 4 and verse 8, think on these things. Proverbs 4 and verse 23, guard your heart with all diligence, and you know the rest of it, for out of it spring the issues of life. What goes in comes out. And if what we're putting in there is the Word of God on a consistent basis, then what will come out of there are certainly good things. Really, the conclusion to all of this is very simple. How sad it will be if our children hear these words from the Lord. The same words that were spoken to that generation there in Judges. But you have not obeyed my voice. Why have you done this? And we sure do hope that their answer will not be, you know, in the end we only have ourselves to blame, but you know what? My parents didn't do a very good job teaching me. And you know, the church that I grew up in, they never did teach on some of these things. I don't feel like I was fully informed. We don't want that to be their answer. Again, everyone eventually has to be accountable for himself. We don't want to dismiss that in the lesson today. But again, the point still remains that the fate of the next generation to a large degree is in our hands. Let's not fail. Let's make sure that they are taught properly. Go ahead and get out your song, but we'll sing the song of encouragement here in just a moment. One of the things that always kind of excites me, or I guess is, I don't know, just very interesting to me in regard to someone obeying the gospel. I think about when somebody is being baptized. There are things that you can see, and then there are things that you cannot see. You can see someone being lowered into the water, being buried or immersed in the water, and then being raised up again. And you can hear their confession. But there are things going on that you cannot see. And I'm referencing primarily here Ephesians chapter 2. Because a person can be baptized, but only God can make someone alive. Only God can forgive sins. Only God can raise one up to seek them in heavenly places. And so there's a power that is going on that we cannot see. And isn't that marvelous to think about? And so this morning, if there is someone here who is ready to be baptized in Christ for the remission of your sins, there are things that you have to do, but in response to that, there will be some marvelous things that God will do. He will make you alive from the dead. He will forgive you of your sins. He will raise you up to sit you in heavenly places. You won't be able to see all of that, but it's being done nevertheless. What great power God has to save your souls. If we can assist you in any way this morning in making your life right, please come as we stand and sing.